this boat, the ship of Zion, captained by God Almighty, if everybody in that boat, another boat come along and they thought, man, this is an old boat here and that looks new. I mean, this looks like a cruise ship pulling next to you. And and everybody got aboard that ship and left you. You're the only one left. Would you stay aboard that ship if you knew it was the old ship of Zion? If everybody else had a reasonable explanation to say, but you know, things are different today. We need upgrades in technology. We need all this new ideas. And they were convincing. I want to just tell us today, amen, God's word hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. His word is still the word of God. And we want to stay in the old book and the old ship, and we want to make it with Jesus Christ. Now, next question I want you to think about. I know you're standing. You may be seated, in fact. We'll just go ahead and have you seated. Amen. I'm already launched out into what, amen, I want to talk to you about. I want you to think about it this way. Y'all hear about people that's supposed to be executed in prison, and they used to, I don't know if they still do it or not, they let them pick the meal of their choice. Now, you know if they're from the South because they're going to have something on that plate that has fried food on it, fried pork chops, fried chicken and all that. And they choose their last meal. And there's many times I come to church and said, what if this is going to be my last service? What do I want in this last service? And a lot of times I think, what would I want to be my last service? But you know what? More than just saying it's my last service, I want to put it this way. God, what do you want of me? What do you want me to give you if it was my last service? What would you put on the plate for God if this was your last service? Now, I thought of that. What about the person that's been in the penitentiary that's ate nothing but Amen. I've been to Angola. I've been to TDC. Amen. I see what they eat. Amen. And I've been to Nacogdoches County, and I definitely see what they eat over there. Now, they put a lid on it kind of like in the hospital so it won't crawl off before it gets to you. And that man that has been there, a woman that has been and has sat and has endured the goat meal, that has eaten the bologna and all the junk there, and his first meal outside, and his time is behind him, and now he has a privilege to eat whatever he wants. What would he put on that menu? What would he put on his table if he had the power and the opportunity to have a new beginning? And the state says, I'm sorry, we have charged you wrong. DNA has proven you to be innocent. And the last 17, 18, 20 years, you have sat there wrongly. We are giving you a check. We're giving you millions of dollars now because you was wrongfully charged. And you, what would you order if it was your first meal out? Man, I ask people that all the time in the jail. What would you eat if you were on the outside? And they've been, a lot of them have been watching TV and seeing commercials. And one of them told me the other day, oh, Pastor, I go to Taco Bell and get that hamburger they got. Well, they told me about this hamburger that they had made of taquitos. And I got excited. I don't have a TV, so after jail that day, they got me. I said, man, I got to go try this. And I got the Taco Bell, and the lady said, we don't do hamburgers here. She said, that's Wendy's. She said, I seen the same commercial. But I want you to think about it. If it was your first meal out of the prison, what would you order? What would you want on that plate? Man, most people want some good food, home-cooked food type food. I want you to think with me. Amen. If God has set you free, what does God want on your plate? Amen. There's a lot of people, their first meal back before God, when they start serving God, and put on God's plate. Amen. Oh, they give God best thing. I want to worship God like it's my first time ever and my last time ever. God deserves my very, very, very best. In the Bible times, whenever they would bring an offering to God, they never brought God a good offering. They gave God his best, their best. Why? Because it all belongs to God. That's why we tithe, right? We tithe. When you give your tenth, you don't get it from the bottom, you get it from the top. And listen to this. God just asking you to give the best of what he's already given you. It's his anyway. And when you bless God, Malachi says God's going to bless you all well around it. And so how do you give to God? How about your worship? How about your prayer? How about your attendance to God? I mean, you see, we all think attendance is just church attendance. I believe you got to go to church because the word of God says it. But friend, as a lot of people go to church, but they are not in good attendance with God. Oh, yeah. They woke up this morning, but they ain't give God nothing. They haven't given God the day. They haven't worshiped God. They haven't blessed God. What are you giving God today? I want God to have my best. I'm telling you today, when you give God your best, God can't help but bless you back. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't outgive God. Amen. Are you thankful that we got that kind of God? I love to tell the story about the man who went to Saudi Arabia. He was a computer tech. Stephen, the king of Saudi had a problem and a glitch with his system. And he found an American young man that worked on computers that had a good rapport of working on computers. And he got a hold of the company and said, send me that young man. We're going to pay his way to Saudi Arabia. So the young man got a private jet came and picked him up from Houston. And on the jet, they fed him the finest. They treated him like royalty. He gets to Saudi Arabia, the king. I mean, they had chauffeur. They had everything to pick him up. He gets to the palace of the king of Saudi. And the king meets him. And I'm so thankful to have you. Put him up in the very finest room in the palace. And they get to the problem. And within a few minutes, the young man finds the glitch, fixes the problem, makes sure everything else is fixed on the computer system. And the king of Saudi is just amazed. And he says to the young man, he said, I know we have paid you and you're going to get a big check from us because of what you've done. But is there anything, any token of our expression of our appreciation to you that what can we give you? And the young man knew in his mind, he said, I've never been treated like this. I've never been treated like that. They wined me, dined me, fed me just right. And he said, what can I? And he thought, I tell you what, just give me a golf club. Well, he gets back to the United States of America about 2 weeks later in the mail. FedEx pulls up. Brother Neil jumps out of the truck. Brother Neil looks at the young man and says, you got a sign right here. And the young man that had went to Saudi signs, they hand the FedEx, Brother Neil hands a FedEx package to him. The boy goes in his house and lays it on the table. In a little bit, he thought, you know, I guess it's a gift card to go get me a golf club. So he opens the package, and in the package was a title to a country club with a golf course. You see, the whole point is that king, when he said a club, the king thought he was talking about a golf club, a country club. When you talk to the king is a king that answers in kingly manners. I want to tell you, we worship the God who owns it all, knows it all, who has the power over all to do anything. Amen. He's well able. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I worship the king. I worship the king. And God answers in kingly manners. Today in this place, the king wants to give somebody a kingly answer.
Are you thankful today that you came to the house of the Lord? Oh, amen. Have you ever, as a child, when you were growing up, have you ever pretended that you were something and somebody? Man, we pretended that we were kings. We pretended that we were, I mean, all kind of things. Growing up, we didn't have a TV, so I wasn't, nobody influenced me from the screen. We got out in the backyard and we played. That Tonka truck became real. And when we pretended, we played in the dirt. I had a tree house. I had forts. I had places. We would play and it became real. Today, it's not a pretentious thing in the house of God. When you walk in the house of God, I don't care if the building is a brush arbor, a bunch of sticks that they build, just a refuge or whatever, and they put leaves. It could be in the Philippines. It could be in East Texas. It could be in China. It could be in a hotel room. It could be in a barn. It doesn't matter. Even where we worship God, God makes that place a holy place. Amen. Are you thankful for the holy presence of God? I don't know about you. I come to worship the King today. I come to worship the creator of the universe. Amen. I want to ask the question this morning. Amen. What are you putting on the plate for God? If this was your first, amen, opportunity to be in the house of God, amen, after being set free, amen, what would you give the Lord today? If this was your last service ever, what would you give God today? I come to give God my very best. Amen. Hallelujah.
Man, y'all looking at me like I stole something from you. Come on. Amen. I'm telling you something that is real today. Amen. Oh, in our little cornbread world, like Brother Ballester says, amen, we've got a great big God who reaches in and is well able to supply your every need. And God just don't want to just bless you. God wants to royally bless his church. He wants his people to know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My God still answers today. Amen. My God still deserves the highest praise, the best that I ever have for him. Oh, we got maybe one or two today that is catching the drift. Amen. What do you want? Amen. And what are you giving? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you thankful for the power of the word of the Lord? You got your Bible? Turn to Luke, the 11th chapter now. Luke 11th chapter, verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. I love God's people. I love you. And what a privilege to be your shepherd. Amen. Praise God. Luke, the 11th chapter, the gospel writer, Luke, he says this today. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall, somebody say it loudly, find. The next one, knock, and what? And it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, somebody say it, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be, there you go. 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father. And if you're really a good father, when your child says, I'm hungry, will that father give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give, or a fish give him a serpent? No way. Verse 12, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13, if ye then being evil, know how to give good. If you're human and know how to give good gifts, it says, unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Are you thankful today that we have a King
that knows how to give kingly gifts to those that ask. Amen. Oh, would you put your Bible down just for a moment? Amen. And would you lift your hands to the King? Amen. I don't want you to ask, but I want you to praise him for your answer today. Amen. That's an answer that you've been seeking in your life. Amen. Would you praise him today for your answer? God, I thank you for my answer. I thank you for the answer to my prayer. I thank you today for proving yourself to my soul, my heart, my life, my Lord, my being. Thank you today for my answer. I give you praise and I give you thanks. Now, would you give the Lord a hand of praise?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I want to just reaffirm that the Bible is an unbiased source of absolute truth. This book is going to be right 9 times out of 9. Every time it's going to be right. Amen. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. Anybody could get me a translator on from Spanish to English and find out what it's how to say Jesus is the answer. Amen. I want Brother Perez. Amen. I want everybody. Amen. That even doesn't speak full English to understand that Jesus is still the answer. Amen. When you get it, amen. I want somebody, amen, to share it with me. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. Jesus is still the answer. Somebody say it with me. Jesus is still the answer. Amen. You found it, brother? Who found it? Jesus, Jesus Christo. Is still the answer. How would you say it in Spanish? Anybody? He's going to give it to Brother Perez. Hermano, can you read that? Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Lamar, Jesucristo, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ in French is still the answer. Amen. Somebody just hollered out, Jesus is still the answer. Amen. And he's going to stand by his word. When everything is failing and falling, amen, and faltering in our generation, God is absolute and God is certain. I'm telling you. And today, if God is absolute and God is certain, today God is on time. Amen. Sometimes I'm not on time. Amen. My pastor taught me if you're 10 minutes early and if it's at 7 o'clock, he said if it's at 7 o'clock, you're supposed to be at 7, you're late. You need to be there 10 minutes early. Amen. But God, amen, is always on time. Even in an ever-changing world, the word of God is still the same. Amen. The God of the word is still, amen, with us today. In fact, the Bible, I want to say it as much as I can. The Bible is the only book that the author, when you open it up, still shows up. Are you thankful that the author is present today in his house? Amen. Luke began to talk to us. He said, ask and it shall be given. Amen. That word shall be, amen, if you break it down, that's a future perfect tense. In other words, you could take it to the bank if God says it. Amen. You could cash it in. If God says ask and it shall be given, amen, God's going to do what he says. If he says seek and you shall find, amen, he's wanting somebody to seek. If he says knock and it shall be open, I'm glad that friend, only thing I have to do is knock and God's ready to open the door. Now, John 14, he says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said in the next verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. We know that, friend, God's not just going to fulfill your order just because you have the want to. And, you know, I want one of these. No. But, friend, you got to walk with God. Amen. You got to be in communion with God, not just in communication to God. Amen. Most people believe this scripture, you ask and God's going to give, but they don't want to put any heart, any life behind their asking. What do you mean? Amen. I want to say God is fail-proof. God is foolproof, but God is looking for somebody to allow him to live in their life. God just don't want to be a king. God just don't want to be your banker. God don't want to be your ATM machine. God wants to be the Lord of your life. Somebody say amen. If he's not Lord of all, he can't be Lord at all in your life. You, every one of you, there is a Lord in your life. Your Lord may be spelled L-A-R-D, but I'm glad I have the mighty God as my Lord. I'm thankful that my Lord is not something in my back pocket, money or my credit card. My Lord is not my Facebook account and what I think I want everybody to know who I am. My Lord is not something else. It's not the different measures of what this world is chasing. My Lord and my God is the master of everything. My Lord is not self, the man in the mirror. Come on, we're getting somewhere today. I'm thankful that my God is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Almighty One. Hallelujah. Now, God is foolproof and failproof. You can't fool with God. You can't fool around on God. God is looking for somebody to be one-on-one with him, that will love him. But faith in God is more than just having that positive mental avenue, attitude and avenue. You just can't have that, I have faith right now. No, faith is how you live your life. Faith is how, more than you think, but the how you put your thinking into doing. Faith without works is dead. God is looking for somebody to put your faith in gear. Amen. Your faith may be in first gear, but that's okay. First gear will get you somewhere. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to be in fifth gear in faith to get somewhere. Amen. But you got to have it in gear. Somebody say amen. And God is looking for somebody to worship him. Amen. And put your life in gear. He's a God that still answers by faith. And when those that do faith and those that believe in God, even more than a mental concept, more than mentality, God is looking for somebody to do it with their soul. Amen. And I'm thankful God still hears. The book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, the Lord told Daniel, he said, "Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou bit through all this and set thy heart to understand," he said, "you begin to push yourself away." Amen. He said, "thy words were heard, and I'm come for your words." God said, "I've heard your words from the very first day." Sometime, prayer has to be built as a memorial. You pray and you thank God you didn't answer, so you quit being God on me. No, God is looking for somebody to pray in faith. There's sometimes prayer is as Cornelius' prayers. God heard the prayer of a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a faithful man. He was a great man. And Cornelius didn't even have the Holy Ghost, but God heard his prayers. He said, "Cornelius, your continuous prayers has come up before me as a memorial." Sometimes prayers are in the style of a memorial. But I'm thankful there's other times, Sister Allison, that my God answers a prayer, amen, when I barely get it out. He's already had the answer for me. Are you thankful that God has that kingly answer for you today? Amen. Oh, when you live for God, God lives for you. Amen. Oh, friend, when you live for God, God lives for you. Say it the third time, Pastor. Amen. When you live for God, you got a God that lives for you. I'm thankful that the King lives for me.
Amen. So, a lot of times, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But a lot of times, we just don't take the check to the bank and cash it in. Prayer works. Talking to God works. And today, I want to just talk to us about asking with assurance, living with assurance that God is in control, even when things are out of control. Even when everybody else on the ship has bailed out, amen, and you feel like you're the only one, are you still going to be the one that will stand? Are you going to be the one that runs? Are you going to be the one that flees? Amen. Are you going to look around and say, "Man, everybody around me is hypocrites"? One man in the Bible said, "But God, I'm the only one." And the Lord said,
Hold it. I have 7,000 other knees that has not bowed to Baal. Sometimes we think that we're the only one, but we don't see behind the seed. God sees the secret part. God sees that one that is really striving. Amen. It's not all about your mouth. It's about your walk. Lips don't count. Lifestyle does. Everybody say amen. God is looking more than for lip service. He's looking for life service. Amen. And he's looking for that one that would say, God, I'm going to believe you and trust you. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4 verse 31, the people of God prayed. And when they assembled together and prayed, the Bible says the place where they were gathered together began to shake. Amen. Oh, friend, I look for that shaking prayer. Amen. That prayer that shakes the place that I'm at. Amen. I want God to give us a place shaking. How many needs a place shaking in your life? Amen. The place where you're at needs a shake. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm thankful that God can shake the foundation and the place that where you're at right now in your life. I don't care if you're in a low place or a high place. God is God enough to make that place shake with his glory. Hallelujah. That's the reason why you may be in an ICU, in a hospital, praying with somebody. And God is able to take that place of desperation and hopelessness and change it around with just your prayer. That's the reason why when I pray, I'm not going to pray and I don't treat my prayer like it's a fortune cookie or lottery ticket. Maybe I'm going to win. Maybe God will hear me. God hears me. God didn't ask me to answer. He asked me to pray. Come on. He asked me to ask. He asked me to seek, and he asked me to knock. And friend, when I walk in that place, and when I pray, amen, in an intensive care unit where the doctor has given up, amen, friend, God is able to shake the place. God is able to meet at the place where you're at. But friend, God is waiting for somebody to pray and somebody to trust him with assurance that he's God. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, we've been places where, man, they had beautiful buildings. They had the finest talent, musicians or almost magicians, you know. They could take a guitar and that guitar could come alive. And they could take a keyboard and they could take a choir and people could sing. And I mean, their singing was almost like magicians. It was like, whoa. But not one ounce of the power of the Holy Ghost seemed to be in that place. Yet, Brother Fancher, I've been to way back country churches where the people on the platform, I mean, some of them were country as country could be. They were walking cornbread. You know what I mean? I mean, when you shook hands with them, they kind of smell like onions. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, they were just country people. But when they got that old guitar, they couldn't play it. They couldn't sing in tune. But the power of the Holy Ghost began to fall. I want to tell you the evidence. They may be in a little place in Mexico. Amen. Oh, and they're starting to worship God. They didn't have the finest place. Amen. The place was a place where the water ran in from the rain. Amen. They had buckets everywhere. But they came to worship the Lord. And the power of the Holy Ghost began to fall. I'm telling you, God wants to meet where your place is, and God wants to shake the foundation of lives, but we have to worship him for who he is. We have to talk to him and believe him when we pray. Hallelujah. God still answers prayer. You know what? The Psalms 56, I love it. In verse 8, it talks about, he says, thou tellest my wanderings, you put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book, God? God saves everything, friend. God is a good accountant. God keeps accurate books. He sees every effort that you make, every mile that you give for God, everything that you do for him. When it's an effort or not an effort, God knows about it. Amen. I want to tell somebody, God's keeping good records today. Amen. The pen is in the hand of the mighty God today, who's checking all things today and saying, look what they're doing. I watched them when they raised their hands while ago. They crowned me. It didn't go unnoticed today. Well, I haven't felt anything. Hang on. God is keeping score today. Somebody touched the Lord this morning. Somebody, when they clapped their hands, they didn't just clap their hand because Brother Brian said, okay, let's clap our hand. Somebody even went above and beyond and said, you know, I'm not just going to come to church today and go through the motion. I'm coming to give God a kingly worship. I come to give him my sacrifice of prayer. Oh, friend, have you ever come to church when you're certain? Man. You know, the Lord spoke to me to preach this yesterday, and I left the church, and when I got in my car and I got out of my car at my house, all of a sudden, boom, my knee popped out, and I started walking with a limp. When I rolled out of bed this morning, I asked God last night, God, you're going to heal my knee? How can I get up in front of people and preach about you being a healer with me limping around? God said, hey, amen. Preach about it. Amen. Talk to my people about it. Amen. This morning, amen. Oh, the pain was still there. Amen. When I climbed up the steps a while ago, I had to use the assistance of a rail over here to get up. But you know what? Amen. I don't care if it costs me something. Amen. It's for Jesus Christ today. Amen. I'm not going to let something stop me. God sees the effort. God sees my faith. This is for him, not just me. A lot of times we do it for us like that man just getting out of prison. I want to absorb every crumb. I want to chew every bit of that steak. Or the man with the last meal that says in penitentiary, I'm fixing to die, so I'm going to eat this fried chicken. I'm going to eat it mighty slow. I want to absorb everything that God has for me. But when I do it, I want him to enjoy it. Everybody's a bunch of greedy guts. They want God to give, give, give. And you want God to feel your pleasure and push your buttons? And God is a good God who does that, doesn't he? He blesses us. He blesses the pleasures of our heart and the pleasures of our soul. But I want God to get the greater pleasure today. I want God to say, whoa, look at what my child's doing. It's kind of like this. Something happened 6 years ago in my life. On February 7th, it was my birthday, I turned big 5-0. And that day, God blessed me with a grandbaby. Man, I wonder why the ranchers were always so excited about grandkids. Till I have mine. And when that grandkid calls me and they FaceTime me and says, Popsy, I'm hurt. Would you pray for me? Guess what? All the world comes to a stop. He said, pray for me, Popsy, I'm hurting. The other day, he's just throwing up. I mean, hurting. And he called and he's crying. Pray, Popsy. Oh, friend, I didn't have to wait. He said, well, I'm too busy, Asher. No. Woo, what a grand privilege that was for me. Amen. To step before the throne of my God and say, God, this baby needs you. Amen. I respond. I love it when that baby calls me and said, Popsy, I was just lonesome. I just want to tell you I love you. And when he comes in, he says, and he's 6 years old and he's getting big, you know, the oldest one. And when he jumps on my lap, and my mom was here today, we would tell you, he's getting to be a big old boy, and he jumps on your lap, you go, ugh. And he sits in my lap and he hugs me. When he hugs me from his heart, not because he wants a toy, not because he wants me to take him to get him something at Walmart. You know what? When he does it just because he just wants to love me, Brother and Sister Martin, something happens in my heart. And don't you know God sees that? God sees it the same way when somebody gets a hold of him just because they want to get a hold of him and love him. Instead of saying, I'm going to love you because I need something from you today. I need you to take care. I like to have a four-drive Dodge Cummins diesel pickup, God. I like to have all this stuff. I like all these toys that, 56-year-old men like. No, friend. You know what? God loves you. God loves you. When I come to the house of God, it don't matter if I'm driving a 2007. Amen. But when I come to worship God and I just come to love him for who he is, Austin, God can't help but love me back. The heart of God, amen, rejoices when his people worships him in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. God is looking for a worshiper today. God is looking for somebody to seek him, somebody to reach to him, and somebody to bless him. Amen. Oh, man. Must you be the type that cheerleader, Brother Brian Pirtle, has to be at the pulpit to where he said, all right, pom-poms up. Everybody, wave your pom-poms to Jesus. Clap your hands one more time. I mean, you know, used to listen to a radio preacher, and he would say, sing it again one more time. And they get through with that song. He said, one more time, sing it again. One more time. And how many times in one song would he say, one more time? And we get to that same place sometimes. One more time, clap your hands. Wave your pom-poms. No, it should be God when I come to your house. Amen. Nobody has to ask me to clap my hands. God, nobody's going to have to cheerlead me. Amen. Oh, you brought me out of the prison of darkness. Amen. God, I'm going to give you the praise. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my heart. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to roll out the red carpet for you, my King. This is for you. You're deserving the highest I got. Oh, God, thank me today for the King that I serve. He keeps track of the tears that I... He said, you put my tears in a bottle. Every toss and turn from the sleepless nights, you've taken record. Every tear, God, you're keeping in your ledger. Every ache, you're keeping in your book. I'm thankful for the power of the Lord. I heard this story, and I love the story. Because it's part of my heritage. There was a lady, her name was Fanny Harrington. She received the Holy Ghost and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And there was a Catholic background. That's all they knew was the sign of the cross and rosary beads. Her husband was Catholic, but God filled her with the Holy Ghost. And she had two children. And the next thing she found out at 26 years old that she had tuberculosis. And on her dying bed, Fanny Harrington, full of the Holy Ghost, she said, God, my request is save my baby boy. Well, her baby Carl grew up. And had to go to 14 foster homes. 14 foster homes. From this one to that one to that one. Perilous problems. Every home was different. Every home was a perilous situation for a child to be raised in. In fact, baby Carl grew up, became Carl. He ran away from 11 out of the 14 foster homes. Ended up in a gang and went to San Quentin Prison in California. But right before they took him to prison, Carl received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And while he was in San Quentin, his cellmate got a letter from home. Show you how God works. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter their place. When you pray, God is able to shake your place, change the place. The cellmate got a letter from home. His wife said, honey, I just want to let you know something has happened in my life. God has filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. She said, I went to a meeting and God came in my life and filled me with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost fell on me, everything started vibrating. I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And a dynamic power moved in my life. She says, and I was baptized that night in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I took on the name above all names. And in that letter, along with her testimony to her husband, was a tract about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, Carl's mama prayed on her dying bed, Lord, would you save my baby, Carl? And that mama had been baptized in the name of Jesus and received the Holy Ghost. And of all places, San Quentin Prison, all of a sudden, Carl gets the knowledge of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and is baptized. He gets out of prison. And Carl Ballester became a great preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a kid, Brent Crosswhite sat on the front row of a church where Carl Ballester would come and teach. And many times, even my soul bled with thanksgiving because somebody was able to tell me about a God who still answers prayers. I want to tell somebody today, God has a way of answering. Amen. When we live for Him and when we give God our very best. Amen. When you pray, amen. Oh, friend, pray with assurance. God keeps good record. He hears your prayer. Even if it's just a faint whisper, God hears it. Even when you don't know how to articulate it right. When it becomes something that you don't know how to express. Tears roll down your face. I want to say tears are a language that God understands. We're living an hour that my generation, if you shed a tear, you're a sissy. But I'm going to tell somebody, God understands the tears, amen, of somebody today. And God loves it. He said He doesn't reject a broken and a contrite spirit. I'm thankful God still looks at tears and understands the language of tears. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. When our culture don't understand it, God still does. He keeps good record. He hears. And when you pray, you hear your pastor teach this. We just don't pray in vain repetition. We don't just say things over and over and over and over again. Pray specific. Specific prayers get specific. I want to drill it in your life. I want it to be something that when you pray at home and when you pray wherever you're at, that you're not just going to pray, but you're going to pray specifically and believe that God has the power to answer specifically. You tell Him what you want. Don't just use repetition. There used to be a song when we were kids, Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell Him what you want. If you need a healing, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, call Him up. Tell Him what you want. Call Him up. Call Him up. Remember that song? Tell Him what you want. Call Him up. But you got to do it. You got to talk to Him. Pray specifically. Let me just tell you, some people just, they say the same thing over and over. They're kind of like a tape recorder. You know what they're going to say every time you're around them praying. Certain man went to a church evangelist, said he went to a church. And this particular man, he said, I was there for 6 weeks. And the man said the same thing over and over. Sister Riley, every time he would, you go around that man, he'd say, every time he'd pray, some way, somehow, some way, somehow. God, some way, somehow, some way, somehow. That's all he would say, some way, somehow. Over and over and over and over again. Another man would pray, your will and your way, God. Your will and your way, God. Your will and your... You could go to church and they're going to have a prayer meeting. He would say it 1,000 times. Your will and your way. Nothing else he would say. Your will and your way. Never did he pray specifically. And there's other people that just pray. You hear him pray, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And Jesus is the most powerful name. But we could say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus 10 million times and never mean it. You know? And I tell everybody, there's other people that pray. They use the 5G method. G, 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 G. G, 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 G. What about just talking to Jesus? Have you ever got to the place that you need just a little talk with Jesus? Amen. There's sometimes my wife and I, we, you know, this don't help. Even this don't help. And sometimes I just need to sit next to her and we just need to have a talk. Sometimes I need to put my hand in her hand. Sometimes I need to look at her in the eyes. And we just need to look at each other and put all business protocols aside and just have a talk. And I want to say this, how often do you have a time where you put all business aside, all your wants, all your desires aside, instead of coming to Jesus and using Jesus as your Mr. Fix-It-All, or your ATM, or the one that you constantly asking Him, oh God, would you fix this, do this, and Jesus is not your servant. Jesus is not your genie. Amen. Jesus should not be the one that you come to and, butler, I need you to come fill my glass. No. Jesus ought to be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You need to talk and you need to love him. You need to get him by the hand and let him put his arm around you. And you need to reach for him. You need to seek him. You need to know him. You need to love him. Woo! Amen. You just need to say, Jesus, I just want to tell you I love you. I just want to bless you today. I just want to see. Well, yeah, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, you say, but amen. But when you sing to God, amen, it ain't about anybody else. It's about you. Your song to Jesus Christ matters. Was the last time that you had a good talk with Jesus? Will you talk to him? Hosea, the 14th chapter says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. You start talking to him with words and talking to him. Make your requests known to God. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes we got to come to him and talk to him. God hears quiet prayers. God hears whispers. God hears loud prayers. God hears, but it all matters how you say it. Use words. Use your heart to commune. Specify when you pray. When, how and what and why. So, Stephen, when I go get a hamburger, yesterday went and got me a hamburger for lunch. Says Crosswhite's in Amish country. She's, amen, today she's going to be talking to them about being baptized in Jesus' name. But yesterday I went and I ordered me a bacon cheeseburger. And the lady said, you want it all the way? I said, no, I don't want onions on it. And guess what? When I got it back, I opened that bun. There was no onions on it. Why? Because I specifically ordered no onions. I watched her write. The little waitress at Ken Folks wrote, no onions. And today, I want to tell you, when you pray specifically, amen, oh, my God is able to answer right on the dot. Amen. So this last night when I prayed, amen. Oh, Sister Kristen, amen. I called a name. I said, Lord, you see Julianne. She's got more than a cancer problem. God, you're trying to reach to our heart. Lord, I pray for the power of your spirit to touch Julianne. Lord, she needs a healing from this cancer. But God, there's a greater thing you have. You have a treasure for Julianne that you want to put in her life. God, you know how to get a hold of her. You know how to get her attention. If it's through the route and the avenue of going through cancer, you're able to do it. Lord, you're God, and I believe you to touch her and Jeff right now. God, would you touch her? You know what I believed when I prayed? That immediately that God started touching Julianne and Jeff and start pulling on the strings of a heart. When you put your prayer, lay the tracks out for God to move through to where you're needing him to move. Amen. When they built train tracks, that's where the track, where the train would come. I want to tell you, lay the tracks of your prayer specifically. Believe in God and trust in God. Amen. Oh, friend, I believe that God is able to do it. Amen. Hey, let me just say this. A man said, he said he was in jail. He said he got pulled over in a strange state. Nebraska. And when he got pulled over, this was a preacher. He said, back in those days, he said, I had $50 to my name, and I had taken 10 of those and bought me some healthy snacks like Fritos and RC. And he said, I had $40 left to my name, and I got pulled over in Nebraska. And he said, the sign said 60, and it said 60 miles an hour at night, 55 in the daytime, whatever. And he said, the guy pulled him over, and he said, sir, I don't mean to. And he said, well, he said, you know, it's dark time here. We consider that sign to be wrong at 6 o'clock. And the preacher looked down at his watch, and he said, well, sir, it's 6:02. And he said, we've been on the side of the road for 5 minutes, and the cop said, it's my clock that counts. And he said, you're going to have to follow me to the courthouse or whatever. 8 o'clock that night, He was still waiting on the judge to come. And the judge looked at him and he said, it's going to cost you $50. And he said, Judge, he said, listen, all I have is $40. The judge said, I'm sorry. And he tried to explain. He said, it was before 6 o'clock when I got pulled up. The judge said, he said, I hear all kinds of excuses. He said, that officer is our officer. And what he says is right. He's an officer of the law. And he said, guess what? He said, they gave me a tortilla to lay on. They gave me just a thin little thing. And he said, give me your shoelaces and your belt. We don't want you to commit suicide for getting a ticket. They put him in that cell. And he said, they shut the door. And he sat there looking up and, oh my. Well, next thing, about an hour and a half later, somebody comes and says, hey, it's time for you to go make that one phone call. He said, I forgot all about that one phone call. And he said, I got over there and he said, I didn't even know my mom and daddy's number. And he said, but I knew that my dad would be at church. And he said, I knew the name of the church and the city. And back in those days, the operator would come on and said, may I help you? May I direct your call? And he named the church and the city. And the lady said, we're connecting. And he heard his daddy answer, hello. You know what he said? When my daddy said hello, I didn't say, daddy, 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 daddy. And he didn't say, oh, daddy, 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 oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. You know what he said? He said, daddy, I got pulled over. I got a ticket. I am in this place. I need this amount of money wired to me. Guess what happened, friend? Because he was specific, amen, his daddy wired the money, and by 2 o'clock in the morning, the boy got out. I want to tell somebody today, amen, God wants somebody to be real with him. Somebody that will talk to God and believe God with assurance that God will answer. Today, amen, you got to connect to heaven. You got to connect with the Almighty God. God just don't want you to go through the motion, but God wants your heart to have assurance that he's still God enough to answer. Oh, but this is Nacogdoches. You don't understand, this is a hard place. This is Apostolic Lighthouse. It don't happen here. And next excuse, you know, I'm me, and you know how I am. I can't get through, Pastor. You know, God can't do it here, but it's got to be Africa, Armenia. It's got to be Alexandria, Louisiana. I want to tell somebody, like the old preacher from up north said, get your prayers out of the basement and get it to the living room of God. Amen. Somebody come boldly before the throne of God. Amen. I don't care when it's too dry, too hard, too impossible. Amen. You want to just, let me give you the formula. When it's too hard and too dry, too impossible, you know what the problem is? It's to you. Too much of us. Amen. Instead of God. But when you know that it's dry and it's bone dry in your life, and you're in the bottom of the desert and the backside of the desert of life, and you feel that there's no help for you and God, and everybody's writing you off, I'm going to tell you, it's not too hard for God. Amen. And when you have it's too hard, it means it's too full of you. But when you begin to say, Lord, you're able to come to the place that I am, and you're able to shake the foundation. Do you need a place shakement today? Amen. Do you need the power of God? I come to challenge somebody right now to believe God, that God hears your prayer and knows exactly where you're at. God's waiting on you. He says, ask, seek, and knock. Would you like to see a miracle? To see a miracle in your life. Hallelujah. Can God still work a miracle? Can God do miracles today? Has God ran out? Is God still well able to heal, to minister, to do his work and his will? I want to tell somebody right now, God's not out of order. He's not out of reach. He's not out of power. God's not on part-time salary. And God's not too busy. God is well able to do it specifically and today to do a miracle.
Today, right now.
But we have not because we, and we ask not because we believe not. Let me tell you another story of specifics. This little family, husband was working elsewhere. They moved in a little apartment. Just a little apartment. They had four little girls and a little boy. And the mama, they had just moved in. And she heard the kids screaming. And that mama looked over there. And that little girl's legs were covered with fleas. And she got to looking, all her kids were covered with fleas. The apartment was full of fleas. So, they're spraying mama. They didn't have the ability to go get whatever to spray the apartment. In fact, they didn't have anything. But she had God. That little mama, she said, God, she said, children, we're supposed to pray. And she set her children down, and the children were itching. Fleas were crawling everywhere. She set them, lined them up. She said, children, we're going to pray. The Bible says this in the book of Malachi. She said, we paid our tithes this month. We gave God his part. And Malachi 3:8 says, we give to God. We're not robbing God. And 11 says, God will rebuke the devourer. And she said, we're going to pray that God will rebuke the devourer, these fleas. And those little kids heard their mama lift her voice and lifted those hands. And she said, Lord, would you rebuke the devourer, these fleas? You know what happened? The fleas disappeared. They lived there for a long period of time. From that moment forward, never had another flea. I'm telling somebody right now, my God is answering. When something so small like a flea can become a big problem, it's no problem for God. And when something big as a giant called Goliath is a big problem, it's nothing for God. And I'm going to tell you right now, your problem is nothing for my King. Amen. My God is still the miracle worker. My God is still the promise keeper. Amen. My God is still the answer today. Amen. He's well able to perform that only the King can perform. He's the one that spoke this world into existence. And you think your little flea problem is a big problem for the master of the universe? You think your big Goliath is a problem for God? Nothing is impossible to my Almighty God right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My God, I praise you, Lord. You have spoke to me, God, that this morning there would be virtue. Hallelujah, that would flow in this place. Virtue is a product of a holy, beautiful King, our God, who's paid the price for healing and victory. Lord Jesus, your people have come, Lord, and we're not coming here just because we want something. We come here today, God, to enjoy, God, the presence of your glory right now. God, we didn't come here to consume the steak just for our consumption and pleasure, but God, we come here today even to enjoy your presence and your glory and the beauty of your spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ. You need a miracle? I want you to be specific. Lord Jesus, I need this right here. Amen. I want somebody to pray and believe the Lord. God, I trust you right now, God, to perform what only you could do. God, you're faithful to, Lord, to, God, to put it into action. God, you see that need and you see that problem, Lord Jesus. God, I believe you right now. You're the God of heaven and earth and sea and all that dwelleth therein. God, you're faithful and you're on the throne for me right now.